Good evening, everyone. Tonight's reading is from Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 48. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray for God's help to understand this. Lord, we pray that you would sustain us. We pray that you would speak to us through your word. And we pray that your spirit would be with us to understand what you want us to understand from this passage. We pray that you would work in us, that you would change our hearts, that you would cause us to repent where we need to repent, and to trust in you where we need to trust in you. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. It seems like Christmas is just around the corner. We see with the Advent wreath and the carol service and everything going on, and I don't know about you, but it still comes as a surprise to me. You're just coming to the end of summer, getting into the swing of the darker nights and everything, and then Christmas markets, Stollen, Christmas cake, everything that you can think of, and you sit there thinking, how did this happen? I thought it was still summer. And once it finally sinks in, we set into motion this process of getting ready. We buy and we decorate the tree, we cook the food, we organize the presents, we organize if we're flying home for Christmas, if we're staying here, all of the complicated things, all of this thing that we do every single year, and we just keep on going, preparing for this big event of Christmas. But as we start the first of Advent today, we want to prepare ourselves not just physically for the celebrations, but also spiritually for the message of Christmas. Christmas remembers the coming of the Lord Jesus into the world. God himself became man, stepped forward and condescended, lowered himself to weakness to mend the relationship between him and us that we broke. He came as a weak and helpless baby, born in modest circumstances, the King of the universe, lying reliant and needing help from sinful humans. Advent, however, is not just a time of preparing to remember Christmas, but also a time of preparing to remember that he will come back. When Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, he promised he would return in the same way, to bring both the day of judgment and the full kingdom of God, the new heavens and earth. In this time leading up to Christmas, we want to focus a bit more on this, and our passage tonight should help us to think about this. So tonight's passage is split into three mini parables that all focus around this idea of masters and houses. And we'll look at each in turn and the lessons behind them, and all of these are very closely linked. So the first parable that we come to is in verses 35 to 38, and I've put it under the heading, to be ready. In this parable, we see the idea of the master out at the wedding feast until the late hours, and the servants sitting at home, waiting for him to come back. But they shouldn't just switch off, relax, enjoy watching TV or whatever they had back then, but they should be preparing for when he comes back. It says that they should keep their lamps burning and stay dressed for action. And in our Bible study, we did this a few months ago, and we had a lot of fun as we looked at what it actually means to stay dressed for action. This, in modern terms, looking back to that time, involved lifting up the skirt that you were wearing. All men wore skirts back in those days, and you would tuck it into your belt so that you had more freedom of movement, so you could run around if you needed to. That's what it meant to be dressed ready for action. You're ready to run and move around as necessary. So to stay dressed for action and to keep your lamps burning gives the great illustration of being ready to drop everything and run when necessary. And this has a lot of applications to our own lives as we think of Christ. After Christ rose from the dead, he also ascended into heaven, and in a sense, has gone away. But he is coming back, and we need to be ready. Sometimes it's so easy to get caught up in normal life that we forget that we're living to serve Christ. Maybe some things are getting us down. Maybe we don't feel the Spirit as strongly, and we switch off from our focus, and we settle into our early earthly life of relaxing and enjoying what's here. And we live without even a thought that Jesus is our Lord and that he is coming back. And we must be very careful to avoid this, so that on the day when Christ comes back, we're not caught unready. To use the parable's metaphor, we don't want to be running around getting dressed, looking for a candle, while our Lord is stood outside. Focusing on him, remembering him in everything we do, is paramount to our lives as Christians. And being ready isn't always just for his final return, but all the decisions before then. Christ doesn't call us to dramatic events every moment of our lives. In fact, a lot of our daily life is actually pretty normal and unspectacular. But the principle is this readiness to act when called upon. At any moment in life, Christ might call us to do something. And this could be something huge, like move to the other side of the world, take this new job offer. Or it could be something small. Talk to that person who looks like they're feeling left out. Offer to pray for a colleague who's just received bad news. Invite someone to read the Bible with you. And if we're focusing on him, we may actually notice more opportunities in which we can serve him. It may also even be something painful, like making yourself the outsider by standing up for an issue. Or even something much bigger, like giving up your greatest dreams or life plans to serve him and the people around you in the way that's necessary. In the parable, it talks about him coming in the second or the third watch, and this is in the middle of the night or even the early hours of the morning. They would be tired. It would be difficult. But God asks them to be ready to serve him in any way that he calls. And this is difficult and uncomfortable, but as Christians, we want to do this because we can trust that he is the best Lord we could ever have. As Romans says, all things work for our good, and we know that what he asks of us is ultimately good for us. I've personally learned this very recently, just how sometimes even this practicing of submitting to the Lord's will is in fact good for me, and that it sanctifies me and makes me more like Jesus, who submitted to the Father's will in everything. And because of who he is and what he has done for us, we want to be ready so that we can give him the sort of return that he deserves. And we think of this glorious triumphant entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and that is the welcome that we want to be ready to give him when he returns. We read in the parable, verse 36 onwards, "Be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those whom the master finds awake when he comes." Jesus is returning, and we are to be ready. The great news is that when he comes, he will serve us. Verse 37, "Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at the table, and he will come and serve them." We see this in the first Christmas as Jesus was born human and served his whole life for us, even to death. And when he returns, we won't just be servants, but we will be seated with him at the great wedding feast of the Lamb. We are to be ready for his return, and if we are, we can enjoy eternity with him. All our sacrifices now on Jesus' behalf is nothing compared to the joy that we will have in that eternal second Christmas. When he returns, we will be with him, and that is the motivation to be ready. So we are to be ready, and we are also not to be surprised. So Jesus goes on with his second parable in verse 39. "But know that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." I'm sure we've all been in the situation where you're waiting at home for a package to arrive. DHL say that the product will very helpfully come between 7 a.m. and 8 p.m. So you're waiting in the house, and it gets to 12 o'clock, no package. 2 o'clock, no passage, no package. And you start thinking, okay, maybe I'll get on with doing the washing while I'm waiting for the package. So you go upstairs, set the washing going, and you come back downstairs, and you see that really annoying card on your doormat. Your package could not be delivered. You went upstairs for 1 minute, and you missed the doorbell. If you'd only known what time they were coming, you would have been ready for them to come. And similarly, in this parable, if the master knew when the thief was coming, he would have been there waiting. But Jesus then likens the thief to himself, the Son of Man. A few times in the Gospels, Jesus refers to his return as being like a thief in the night. Now, this clearly isn't a suggestion that Jesus himself is a thief, or that he's being in any way dishonest in the way that he's doing it. He's more using the term to emphasize the unpredictability of his return. So let's consider what this passage could mean. Perhaps the master didn't know that the thief was coming at all, so he wasn't prepared when he did come. If we transfer this to us and Jesus, this isn't the case for us. We have heard that he is coming, and we are warned to be ready. There are, however, many people that we have contact with who don't know of Jesus' return, and they don't know of the importance of being ready. We want to share the good news of Christ and encourage people to be ready for his return. And Advent is the perfect opportunity to do this, as the whole festive season and all the traditions it brings with it are things that we can use to talk about Christ, to talk about why we have this season. And we don't know when he'll come back. And for some of us, the idea that he might come back tomorrow or even tonight is something that we struggle to contemplate, we struggle to understand, and the idea might even be a bit silly. But it's true. The Father has foreordained the time of Jesus' return, and we have no idea. It could be in another 1,000 years, it could be in a month. Some of you might be hoping it's before the end of the sermon. But we don't know the time he will come back. And that just reinforces the importance of the first point about being ready. This is not the situation we want to be caught off guard. We want to prepare ourselves and help others to prepare themselves as quickly as possible. We need to be using every moment, because the next moment could be too late. So we want to be ready. We don't want to be surprised. And finally, we want to be diligent. After these two parables, we read in verse 41, Peter saying, "Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all?" And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time?" Now, I'm sure I'm not the only one who occasionally wishes Jesus would just say yes or no and give us a direct answer. And I'm sure that Peter probably thought that at some point too. But Jesus' answer here is, discern this for yourself. Consider what I've said and use your own brain to work it out. His reply is then yet another parable, which we'll look at now. So he goes on with verse 42, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find doing so when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful." A similar sort of story that may be more relatable to us takes place in offices all over the world all the time. You're sat at your computer doing your work, and your boss leaves for a meeting for the afternoon. How many of us have had the unexpected return of our boss to find us watching YouTube or playing Candy Crush? Lots of us. The absence of our boss makes us lazy and selfish, and we have this out of mind, out of sight, out of mind way of thinking, where because he's not here, we can get away with it. Our Lord Jesus has gone away and will return. Until then, he's commanded us to feed his sheep and trusted us to care for each other and carry on his work in his name. And it's very easy to have that same thought. But what is sometimes possible to get away with when you have a human boss is not possible with God. God gives us our task and trusts us to do it. And blessed is the servant he finds doing that when he comes. God rejoices and rewards those who do his will now. They don't wait until the boss comes back, because that could be any minute. So they diligently work, doing what the Lord has commanded them. Perhaps you know someone, or maybe you are even someone who thinks, "I'll change that habit later. Or, I'll do what I like now, and then when I'm older, I'll decide about all this God stuff. This passage shows that you may not get that chance, and the consequences are big. The servant who knew the master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. If you know what God has done for us, what he wants from us, yet choose to do differently, you're risking your eternal destiny. Now, just how we deal with the next verse, the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating, is a very big topic that would take another sermon to explain. So if you would like to discuss it, please speak to me afterwards and we can talk about it. But the important thing tonight to take away from these verses is that they are linked to the second half of that verse. The second half of that verse says, everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. God gives generously, but it is our responsibility to use what he gives us well. If we go back to the question that Peter asked, is it for them as leaders, or is it for all? I think the answer suggests both. As leaders and apostles, they had been given much. They got to spend 3 years living with, learning from, and sharing life with Jesus. They'd been entrusted with much by being appointed the earthly heads of the early church and being given positions of authority. So this warning was a warning to them not to abuse what they'd been given and to be particularly hardworking and obedient to their Lord's will. James, in the letter of James, talks about the idea of leaders being judged with greater strictness. And I think we see this in our world as the consequences of leaders being caught in scandals has much greater consequences than just to him himself, but to the whole organization. But to say this only applies to leaders is also ignoring our own responsibility as Christians. As Christians, as people entrusted with the gift of the Holy Spirit, entrusted with the good news of the gospel, we have been given much, so we are expected of much. We are trusted to carry the good news to the ends of the earth, as Jesus tells us in Matthew. We are called to follow his commandments, to live in a way that honors him and shines his light into a dark world. And perhaps this seems like a huge, unmanageable task. And in a sense, it is. As sinful humans, we cannot walk perfectly. And we see in these parables elements of our own sin coming forward. In the confession that we read earlier on in the service, we say, we confess we have sinned through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. Each one of us is just like those in the story. We sin through negligence, like the master who didn't know when the thief was going to come. Or we chose to ignore the threat of the thief and weren't ready. We sin through weakness, like the servants in the first parable, who it was late and it was tired and they may fall asleep and weren't ready for their master's return. And we sin through our own deliberate fault, like the servant in charge in the third parable. We take advantage of the situation for our own benefit. When Jesus returns, each one of us deserves to be cut into pieces and put with the unfaithful. But the truly astonishing thing is that Jesus knows this and came into the world at Christmas with the intention of taking our sin. He lived like all the blessed servants and instead took the fall for us unworthy servants, so that we, as sinful, undeserving servants can be welcomed to the great feast in the new heavens and the new earth, and we can live in an eternal relationship with our Creator. Jesus paid the price for us, and if we trust in him, we will be accepted as righteous by the Father. Christ's promise to return and to bring the day of judgment is something that we need no longer fear, but we can look forward to it. When we wake up on Christmas morning, or sit around on Christmas Eve in Germany, and give and receive gifts, we remember the greatest gift we were ever given, when Jesus gave us himself. First as a baby coming into the world, then as a sacrifice taking our sin, and in the future, when he returns, his eternal presence. Our motivation is in response to what he has already done. We want to respond to his great gifts by being ready for his return, by not being surprised and telling others so they aren't surprised, and by being diligent and obedient in the meantime, carrying out God's will every moment of our lives, doing everything given to us to do as service to him. And as if the gifts of God were not already more than we deserve, he gives us his Spirit to work in us so that this can happen. Let's pray. Jesus, we pray that we would be like the good servants. We pray that we would spend our time here working hard, working honestly, and preparing ourselves and others for eternity with you and your return. We thank you that through your death, you made it possible for us to do this. Through your Spirit, you help us to do this. And we pray that as we go out from here, that we would be able to focus on you, think about your return, and to use it as motivation to work in everything that we do here to your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.